co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, putting the pieces together. Is life wearing you out? Emotions running away with you? We're going to help you keep it together. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day. Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want for marriage. Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life. God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today on More to Life, our show is titled Putting the Pieces Together. You know, sometimes it can be hard for all of us to keep it together. Maybe stressful events in your life or relationships are causing you to feel like everything's falling apart. You know, maybe your feelings are running away with you or making you feel like things are just not coming together. Well, if you feel overwhelmed by your feelings of stress or anxiety or anger or frustration or sadness, let us help you have a healthier relationship with those feelings and face the challenges that are making it hard to feel like you're keeping it together more effectively. Let us help you put those pieces back in place. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
I think that this is something that we are all dealing with. We always do, but I think more than ever we're all dealing with this. I'm either talking to moms, even really good friends of mine who are just at their wit's end. They just feel like they can't take another minute. I'm seeing it on the road. I've never seen road rage the way I'm seeing now, where people are just driving like 30, 40 miles above the speed limit and just pushing people out of the way. And it's not one or two people. It's like every time I go out, I'm seeing it. Everybody's just having a hard time knowing what to do with all the feelings that they're feeling. And it's really a struggle right now. And I think that this is a great day to step back and say, where do I feel like it's all getting to me? What do I think it is that's pushing my buttons? And what in the world do I do about it so I stop being destructive to myself in the way that I'm thinking or behaving, and the destructive to my life, the people I'm with, because I'm feeling whatever that feeling is, extreme sadness, anger, frustration, swinging emotions. They can all really, really take us down.
And I think we have a tendency to feel like it's the things that happen to us or the people that are irritating us that are causing the emotional reactions. You know, and it's not to, and I'm not saying that those things and people don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, everything contributes.
But really, our emotions are our responsibility. You know, our emotions are meant to point out that something is wrong or something has changed and that we need to respond to it. But we have a tendency to let those feelings carry us away. And that's when we start feeling like everything's falling apart. You know, the pressures of life, you know, are just part of life. But how we respond to those pressures determines whether we feel like we're keeping it together or we're falling it apart. And we have a tendency to blame those external things. And instead of being able to turn inward and ask for God's grace to know how to respond to those things in a way that is more effective. And that's what we want to talk about today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. What are the people or situations that are stressing you out, that are making you feel like things aren't just coming together or maybe even falling apart, and that your feelings of anger or frustration or sadness or anxiety or just running away with you? What are those trigger things that are triggering those emotional reactions? And how can we help you manage your feelings more effectively so that you can keep it together when you feel like everything's falling apart? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And I think that, you know, first of all, we're talking about the big things where we're feeling really overwhelmed for a long period of time, or even just the little things. Like, you're going along fine until the kids come home from school, or, you know, dinner hour comes, or your spouse doesn't clean out the bathroom sink again, and then you're just off. And whether it seems small or it seems bigger, we're here for you today, but I also think we take the same approach no matter what, which is either we think we're bringing God into it, but what we're really doing is either just screaming, you know, God help me, I can't take it anymore, not one more thing, or we're berating ourselves. Lord, I'm so sorry, I've got all these blessings, and yet I still feel sad, or I still feel angry, or I still feel confused and anxiety-ridden, or I still feel, you know, stressed out, and I'm sorry about that, and I'm such a bad person for feeling this way, and we just launch into another negative feeling because we're not really joining with God. We're not really asking Him how we should handle it, asking for more of His insight and His wisdom. We're just kind of barraging God with our feelings, but not stopping to include Him in our prayer. Or any number of things that's just not going to really help. Yelling at the people in our lives, going off and crying or sulking. We all do it. We all do it. We're not saying you should feel guilty for any of this. What we should be doing is saying, what can we do to take certain steps to help you feel like you're moving in the right direction towards God's grace and feeling more balanced, more confident, and more peaceful in your life?
So what are those situations in your life or relationships that are triggering you, pushing your buttons, making your feelings run away with you, or making it feel like, you know, you're falling apart? We're here for you at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And for those of you who don't know, the Theology of the Body is St. John Paul's reflection on what it means to be a Christian in the modern world and how we can discover God's plan for more abundant life and healthier, holier relationships.
And today, as we look at trying to keep it all together, the Theology of the Body offers some insights into how we can have a healthier relationship with our feelings. The Theology of the Body reminds us that God created our bodies, including our emotions, to work for our good. When we're stressed, angry, sad, upset, we often treat our emotions as the enemy, but they're not. Even our strongest negative feelings are trying to do something good for us. Because of sin, we often feel like we're at war with our feelings. But instead of fighting them, God wants to teach us how to experience our emotions, even the ones we find unpleasant, as a gift. If we can mentally and spiritually step back from the stressful situations or the stressful people and bring our feelings to God instead of just trying to push through them or ignore them or repress them in some way, He can help us see that our feelings are inviting us to find healthier responses to all the challenges that we're facing.
You know, for instance, you know, stressful or anxious feelings could mean that we need to make a more compassionate plan for getting things done or set boundaries with the people or situations that are pushing us too hard. Angry feelings could be telling us that we need a respectful plan for addressing what we perceive as an injustice. Sad feelings could be telling us that we need to seek help or support from others. Now, those are just some examples. You know, the point is, though, feelings aren't the enemy. But we can only discover what our emotions are really trying to do for us if we bring those feelings to God first and ask Him to teach us how to respond to them in a way that will glorify Him, help us to work for the ultimate good of everybody involved, and be our best selves. So let's talk about how to do that in the stressful situations you find yourself in your life or relationships. Let us help you get a better handle on your emotional reactions and respond gracefully to those challenging situations and people at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Say your concerns to the Lord, and I'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you not only the stressful people and situations that trigger us, but our reactions to those people and situations. Lord, we ask you to be the Lord of our emotions and to teach us not to fear our feelings or repress our feelings or indulge our feelings, but to bring our feelings to you so that we can learn to have a healthy and graceful relationship with all of our emotions, and that we can hear you speaking to us through our feelings, which you created in us to work for our good. We bring those strong feelings we have to you now, and we ask you to teach us to relate to them and respond to them in ways that glorify you, that help us to work for the good of everybody involved, and help us to be our best selves as well, so that even in our emotional life, we can glorify you and build your kingdom. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Putting the Pieces Together, as we talk about how do we keep it together in the face of stressful situations in our life and relationships. How do we have a healthier relationship with those strong negative feelings like anger, stress, anxiety, sadness, that often feel like everything's falling apart? 877-573-7825.
And again, today we're talking about the little things, like you just can't take it when you're starting the morning and your toddler knocked the Cheerios all over the floor, and it was just like not the way to start the day. How do you deal with it? Like, okay, now the whole day is going to stink. What am I supposed to do with this? To the really big, challenging things in life, because when we deal with the smaller things and we learn how to open ourselves up to God's grace and get new skills about it, we don't necessarily hit the bigger things as hard as we would have if we didn't. Often, too often, we just hold it all in, and then one little thing or that big thing comes along, and we are just beyond our capabilities of feeling like we can handle anything. So nothing is too little. Nothing's too big today. Let's talk about how to connect you with the grace of God and some good techniques to make your life more peaceful, more pleasant, and make you feel more capable. The number to call More to Life is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're talking now with Shannon, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona.
Hi, Shannon. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you.
What's going on today?
I'm actually driving from Yuma, Arizona, 3 hours away to Phoenix. My husband was initially on October 11th admitted to the emergency room in Yuma with COVID and pneumonia. He was on the 17th, he was put on a ventilator. On the 18th, he was fully sedated, ventilated, and flown out to a hospital in Phoenix where he has been fighting COVID, fighting heart problems now, fighting various other illnesses and things that have come up, and they're having trouble waking him up from sedation. And so everything that you described about life feeling like it is falling apart is happening to me now.
Of course. I'm so sorry, Shannon, that this is all going on and that you're just having to struggle with so much. How can we be a support to you today?
Well, I've actually alienated like my best friend because my absolute panic in the beginning it drove her away. I'm having to struggle between being strong for my two sons and, you know, fighting, doing government paperwork, trying to get my husband, because he's a firefighter, he's a fire inspector now too, so he's a federal employee, so trying to deal with the government, trying to be strong and, like, not break down, but also feel like I've been stuffing everything deep down, but praying constantly and praying and having faith, but yet there's one piece this happened and this happened one after the other from the hospital.
Let me ask you, how old are your sons, Maria? Shannon, excuse me.
One is 24 and one is 32.
Okay. Well, so let's. So well, I want to make, before I go off on my offering some thoughts here, is there something specific that we can help you with, or do you just want me to share some thoughts as that are coming to me as I'm listening to you?
I think as I turned on this channel and that your voice popped up, I think it was God pulling me to you. So whatever I think is coming to you is what I need to hear.
Okay. Well, God bless you.
Well, come, Holy Spirit, because we want to be able to continue that. But, you know, praise God, because even if we said nothing right now, you know that God's reaching out to you by letting you hear something today, that because you're reaching out to Him, you're praying to Him and saying, God, I need this.
Yes.
And He's saying, I'm here, Shannon. We're going to get through this together. So good for you that you're keeping the door open to the Holy Spirit in the midst of all of this.
Now, Lisa, you already, asked the Holy Spirit to come into the situation.
Lord.
But let's start with a prayer here for Shannon and her. Lord, we just ask your blessing on Shannon and her husband, that you would pour your healing grace into her husband and help him to recover. We ask your grace and peace and blessing on Shannon and her family through this challenging time, that she would be able to respond to all of the really terrific challenges that she's facing.
And all the fears she's experiencing.
In a way that would glorify you, work for the good of everyone involved, and help her be her best self in the face of this. We lift her and all of these struggles up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Shannon, there are a couple of things. First of all, I know that you want to be strong for everybody, but you said that your two boys are adults, in their 30s and their 20s. So I think it's okay to turn to them. In fact, even if they were younger, it's okay to turn to them and say, I just really need to pray with you guys. I don't know if you guys pray together at all right now, but this would be a great time to start. Not just praying on your own, but praying together and really just bringing your own fears and concerns to the Lord. Talk to God as if He was the person who loves you best, loves you most and knows you best, okay? And do it out loud and do it with your kids. Because as you do that, you're able to express those fears and concerns, but in a way that's productive, in a way that allows you to hear each other and bring those things to God. And then you can use that prayer as a conversation to talk about how you guys could be a team through all of this. You're trying to be the strong person carrying everybody. The theology of the body reminds us that we're not meant to be rugged individualists. We're meant to be community. And so I want you to reach out to all those people that are in your life that love you and support you and say, I know that I'm having a really hard time right now, but I just would really like to be as much a team as we could, with your kids especially, with this friend that you say that you alienated. I'd reach back out to her and just say, I'm sorry if I did something that chased you away. This has been a difficult time for me. I need all the support I can get. So, would you please pray with me?
Honestly, if she can't respond in some kind of outreaching way, then you move on. But of course, she got frightened off by thinking she was doing the wrong thing. And anyway, she was trying to support you when you're going through the suddenness and the shock and the terror of all of this, and you're reacting to it. So she's pulled back. But if you just say to her, "Look, this was and is my emotion in the midst of all of this horribleness, but I do need you, and I hope we can move past this."
The second thing I want you to do, first of all, I want you to realize that it's okay to feel stressed and sad and upset, because this is a stressful and sad and upsetting situation. You don't have to repress those feelings. You can bring them to God, like we've been talking about. But the other thing I do want you to do is I want you to write down the little ways that God is reaching out to you. In all the little things that go Write all the little blessings of the day, even if they're small, even if they're hard to find. I want you to write them down. I want you to praise him out loud for them.
It would help to keep a little notebook, like, in your purse, so when you notice it very quickly, you can write it down, because, of course, all the other stuff of the day is going to try to push that aside, and you're going to be too tired to remember at the end of the day.
You're not going to feel like doing it. But that's okay. That's what St. Paul calls a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise is when we praise God even when we don't feel like it. We don't praise God because he needs our praise. We praise God because we need to remember that he's present even in the worst situations, showing us that he loves us and giving us those little hugs to carry us through. So, Shannon, I want you to write those things down and praise him for them.
And you could start right now by saying, Lord, thank you, writing it down. Lord, thank you for letting me listen to this station today and hear this, because I know you're reaching out to me.
We've got to go to break, Shannon, but please know that you are in our prayers, and if there's more we can do to support you through this time, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. And with that, we've come back with your calls and Father Thomas Loya from the Tabor Life Institute when More to Life continues.
CMF Curo is a Catholic health care ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
With 1 in 9 Americans struggling with hunger, Catholic Charities distributed over 70 million meals across the United States last year, along with life-changing services that empower people to move beyond poverty. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. To learn more, go to ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today our show is titled Keeping It Together, as we talk about dealing with stressful events and our emotional reactions to them. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya. He's a pastor, a counselor, and expert in the theology of the body. He directs the Tabor Life Institute at taborlife.org. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Well, so let's talk about our feelings. You know, we tend to treat our feelings as our enemy, or we just, you know, give into them entirely. What can the theology of the body teach us about having a healthy relationship with our emotions?
Well, I like to, the thing that I find very helpful, and I offer to other people, it seems to help them, is one principle is that see our feelings as indicators, kind of like the gauge on your dashboard, you know, your gas gauge. It tells you something. It tells you to look at something. In other words, feelings, in a sense, are a call for us to do some work, some sort of cognitive work. We look at our belief systems, how we're thinking, how we're looking at this thing. And that's hard. It's hard when you're feeling the emotion. But it's a discipline, like everything else in the spiritual life. It's a discipline, you know, to try and develop. And once you do, it works. You right away kind of catch yourself, okay, why am I thinking this way? Why am I feeling this way? What is my thinking? And also, it's a call, it's like a calling to that, and also a calling to make our, I call it, make our faith work for us. In a sense, you kind of like put Jesus to work for you. You know, you look at what can be a Christian response to this solution. What's triggering these emotions? Can I see it any other way? Is there, and always look for, reach for a benign interpretation first. You can always go to things more catastrophic, you know, more serious, yes, but look for the benign first and ask yourselves, what does this really matter in the big picture? How will it really affect me? What is its real significance, its real impact? I mean, I'm not saying something isn't significant, but you have to kind of go through that inventory and really look at it, because we tend to make things bigger than they are, as if God has jumped out the window when we have a problem, we're feeling bad. But like you were telling the other caller, go to God first, and you reach for benign interpretation.
Well, and I really like the metaphor of our feelings being like the indicator lights on a dashboard. I use that metaphor with my clients, and I remind them that, you know, when the check engine light comes on, that could mean that the engine fell out of the car a couple of blocks back, or it could just mean that the check engine light is shorted out. And either way, you know, it's the fact that the engine light came on doesn't mean that I have to go into a panic. It means that I have to look under the hood and see what's going on. And that's really what you're saying here, that our feelings aren't so much a call to action as they are a call to reflection and prayer about how we should act and what we can do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Go ahead, please.
If you look at your gas gauge, you don't just say, oh me, oh my, that I'm running on empty or close to empty. No, you take that and you do something. You reflect on, okay, what do I have to do? I have to fill my gas tank. I have to pull off the road or find a gas station. So it's a call to reflect on something and then the appropriate action and thinking, really what it is. And so feelings are a call, in a sense. They're indicators.
Father Loy, I want to thank you for sharing your insights with us and encourage people to visit your website at taborlife.org. That's T-A-B-O-R, like the mountain, taborlife.org, and learn more about the Tabor Life Institute and how the theology of the body can bless their lives. With that, we are going to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about those situations in your life or relationships that are making it hard to keep it together, especially emotionally. How do you have a healthier response to those situations and a healthier relationship with the feelings those people and situations bring up in us? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after this.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the Live Stream Football button. This Saturday, the Gyrenes host the Kaiser University Seahawks. Game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
You know, Ave Maria Radio is your Catholic radio station, and we'd like to make it even better for you. Your feedback is really important to us. Just go to our website, AveMariaRadio.net, and look for the button labeled 60-Second Radio Survey. It only takes a minute to fill it out and send it to us. Again, go to our website, AveMariaRadio.net, and look for the button labeled 60-Second Radio Survey. We'd really appreciate it.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. New parents all have the same question. How do we get this new baby that we just made? grow up to be a child who loves God? The answer lies in you. A child's capacity to trust God is learned at a very early age and is modeled after her ability to trust you. Little things such as how long your child cries before you respond to her could impact the degree to which your child is capable of trusting God and others later. If you're worried about your child's spiritual formation, remember that holiness and a love for God is learned first at home. What can you do today to demonstrate the love of God for your child? Well, you could dive a little deeper into self-donation. The little decisions you make now will have a lasting impact on how much your child trusts and loves God in the future. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today our show is titled Putting the Pieces Together. You know, sometimes stressful events in our life or relationships make us feel like we're falling apart or it's all falling apart. As we struggle with those situations and the impact they're having on our emotions, how do we and make healthy responses to those challenges or have a healthier relationship with the emotions that get triggered by those people and situations? That's what we're talking about today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Tasha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana.
Hi, Tasha. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi, how are you? I'm triggered. I come from a spiritual family. Can you hear me? But I'm triggered by a lot of.
Did we lose you?
Sasha, you're still there.
You're triggered by a lot of what now?
I think we lost her.
Okay, well, I mean, let's talk about that. What that means, though, because I mean, I have some information that she shared with our screener, which even though the connection was short, we often hear this from clients or other callers. I go from a 0 to a 10 on my emotional temperature scale. What's wrong with me? And what that really means, when you're just triggered by a lot of different things, like Tasha was describing. It means that on a scale of 1 to 10, emotionally speaking, stress speaking, you think you're at a 3, but you've been living at a 7 so long that it's become your 3. So what happens is when you're living at that 7 on that emotional temperature scale all the time, one unpleasant situation happens and now you're up at an 8 or a 9, and you've got no place to go but crazy. The key to getting a better handle on your feelings and your emotional life when you are as easily triggered as all that is taking your baseline emotional temperature throughout the day. Say when you wake up in the morning, at lunchtime, mid-afternoon, dinner time, and before you go to bed, you just step back and reflect, how am I feeling? And when you look at this, we actually have in my book Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, the emotional temperature scale, each point spelled out, and it's too much to get into on the air here right now, but just the short version is this. If you're at the point where you are rolling your eyes, huffing and puffing, kind of feeling put upon or picked on and kind of doing the whole, oh my gosh, you're at least at a 7. Right.
Most people think because they're not yelling, because they haven't slammed a door, they're fine, they just have to tamp it down a little bit, they'll be fine.
Well, in fact, when you're at a 7 and people say, are you okay? Your response tends to be, I'm fine, what? I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything higher than that is an 8 or a 9 or a 10. So most people don't even realize they're stressed or upset until they're at an 8. And the 8 on the temperature scale that we talk about in the practice is where your verbal filters start falling, right? So at that point, you're losing empathy for other people. At that point, you're feeling really picked on and put upon by the situation, like the universe is against you. You're not necessarily yelling or screaming at an 8, but you are becoming blaming, defensive. You're deflecting. You're helpfully explaining why the other person is wrong and they should sit there in their wrongness and be wrong, you know, that kind of thing. So that's an 8, right? And that's the first point where people are beginning to realize that they're stressed or upset. So my guess, Tasha, is that you live at least at a 7 most of the time, if not a 7.5 or an 8. So the, you can't wait around for irritating things to push you up to a 9 or a 10. You have to be monitoring that emotional temperature scale, and you take your temperature at those different times of the day. You know, like you said, when you wake up, mid-morning, afternoon, mid-afternoon, dinner, bedtime, and you ask yourself, okay, whatever this emotional temperature is, whether I think it's a 7 or a 3 or whatever I think it is, what's one small thing I could do to take that temperature down even one notch? So even if it's at a 3, what can I do to get it down to a 2? If it's a 5, what can I do to get it down to a 4? Right? So the point being that you're being conscious about where you're at on that scale, and you're always looking for one way to bring it down. Two simple things. One, you can bring those feelings to God. Lord, you know, I'm at a whatever on my temperature scale. Please help me to respond to the situations in front of me in a way that glorifies you, helps me work for the good of everybody around me, and helps me be my best self. And then take a minute to reflect on what that would really mean. What are those qualities or strengths or virtues that you'd really need to hold on to get through the next couple of hours in one piece? The second thing you can do, and this is going to sound so simple that it sounds silly at first, but it really works, is slow down. Intentionally slow down how fast you're speaking or how quickly you're moving. Because when you get up to about a 7 on your emotional temperature scale, your brain has been flooded with adrenaline and cortisol and other stress hormones that cause you to kind of lose your sense of yourself in time and space. And so when you'll do things like reaching for the glass and knock it over because you're not paying attention. You'll start stumbling over your words because you're not really thinking about what you're saying. So in a sense, your gas pedal is stuck in your nervous system. By intentionally slowing down, what that does is it taps the brake of your parasympathetic or your slowdown nervous system, which forces your brain to say, wait a minute, part of me is revving and the other part of me is slowing down. What should I do? And it automatically defaults to the slowing down part of it. So there was actually a study that looked at teaching people teach college students how to get better anger control. And they just suggested that the students use their non-dominant hand. So if they were right-handed, use your left hand, or left-handed, use your right hand, for simple tasks like opening doors, using the mouse and the computer, other things like that that they could do with a non-dominant hand. And they found that after 2 weeks, those people had better control over their anger. Why? Because it just forced them to slow down enough to think about what they were doing.
And to really focus on that task. So they completely focus rather than letting their minds and brains just wander and rush around from thought to thought to thought. And their bodies had to do the same. So it reprogrammed how they react.
So by being more conscious of how high your emotional temperature actually is most of the time, and being more intentional about doing little things like bringing those feelings to God and intentionally slowing yourself down, your thoughts, your speech, your actions, and paying attention to where you're at instead of where you want to be or where you're going next or what you need to say when this person finally stops talking, that will help bring down your emotional temperature enough that you'll be more in control of that anger and be triggered less. So, Tasha, I hope those suggestions will get you started. We actually talk through this more in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And even though you're not describing anxiety, anger is often really the result of anxiety. We feel threatened, right? We feel anxious. We feel like we're under attack. And that causes us to feel stressed and anxious, and we lash out in anger. So I think Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety will help you address the underlying problems behind the quick temper and help you bring your emotional temperature down overall. Again, the book Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety is available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Thanks so much for the call. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. sometimes when I hear this scripture, I'm like, there are so many of us who are laboring and heavily burdened, and God can't possibly get to me. I'm going to be like the 80 millionth person in the line. But he can take care of all of us at once because he's God, and he loves us. And when we don't include him in every moment of our day, when we're not having that active conversation with him that includes him in helping us handle all of our burdens, we're just pushing away the one and only person who can really help us in the moment and in the long term. So let's stop trying to be perfect. Let's stop trying to impress God and really just come to him when we are feeling this way so that we can receive his rest, his peace, and his direction in our lives.
877-573-7825. We're talking about how to handle those situations that make us feel like we're falling apart or it's all falling apart and our emotions start to run away with us. How do we develop healthier responses to those situations and a healthier relationship with those emotional reactions? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after this.
To Christians, love was central to everything, because before the creation of the universe, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived in all eternity, communicating in love between themselves. Now, this is going on before there's ever a moment that we refer to as in the beginning. So Christianity introduces into the history of human thought this idea that love is underneath it all. In fact, Luke Berry, this atheist philosopher writer, says it's quite clear that without this Christian belief that love is at the center of things, we would not have our human rights revolution that we talk about today. We take this for granted. You know, we have gay rights and women's rights and transgender rights and minority rights and this right and that right. There'd be no rights whatsoever without the incarnate Son of God.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
I posted on Facebook that it's not about wanting what you believe to be true. It's about seeking truth and believing in it. We know as Christians that real truth, with a capital T, comes from Scripture, the Word of God, from Christ our Lord. He is the only truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. A Facebook friend responded to my post with, "I already made up my mind. I can't be bothered with the truth." Well, that comment bothered me for days. He summed up in one statement what has contributed to the breakdown in this country. People don't want truth. They desperately want what they believe to be true. I've added to my prayers this one. Dear God, please let people see truth, hear truth, so that they may speak truth. It's not about what we want to believe. It's about what God has shared with us in Scripture. His truth is the only truth. So let's let that truth lead us. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is all about keeping it together as we look at those situations in our life and relationships that make us feel like we're falling apart and our emotions are running away with us. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Stephanie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Hi, Stephanie, listening on KBSS. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. That's all you do. I'm just a little scared. I'm pregnant, and I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old at home.
Okay, so you're feeling a little overwhelmed? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, especially with controlling my anger when the kids are fighting or being rude or misbehaving, and keeping my anxiety down. And so I'd love those tricks of the trade to get through it, especially when they become nice.
So talk to me about you know, when you say the anger. What are the things that are triggering the anger or triggering the anxiety? What's going on there?
Well, our lovely little son, he's 6, and he is a very spirited little boy, and he can just do he can say things that are rude or fight with his sisters, and it just drives me nuts.
It drives you nuts because what goes through your head when he acts like that? What goes through your head about his behavior?
Like the disrespect of it.
No, but what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you that he's acting or say about you in your head that he's acting that way?
Oh, I guess that I'm not teaching him well enough to be kind.
Okay, so you're not getting anxious or angry so much about his behavior. You're getting anxious or angry because the message in your head is you failed as a mom.
Yes.
Right? And so how would you respond to that in your head if you had to talk back to that voice and saying, you failed as a mom because your six-year-old is actually being rude right now?
Well, I guess I would say, you know, the rudeness can be normal sometimes because he's learning his boundaries and his limits.
Mm-hmm. And if you could say that to yourself, would you... Yeah, if you could say that to yourself, would it feel like you were then being given an opportunity to kind of teach him instead of it being a test that you failed?
Yeah, that would really help.
Yeah. So, you know, when you got a lot going on, you got a lot going on, right?
You really do. And you got a lot of hormones flowing through that brain of yours right now.
The enemy really gets in our heads and starts whispering those desolations, like, you know, you suck. You know, you're a terrible
mom. He's going to grow up to be a horrible person. Yeah. I'm not creating a good man in the world. It's going to all be awful. We every single mom out there goes through it, Stephanie. I promise you. I've gone through it. Every mom goes through it. Because we do feel...
Dads do too, promise.
Do you? we feel like we have the weight of the world on our shoulders because we have to create this person. But I am going to try to put something in perspective. I'd like you to really keep this in mind as you go through your days with him and with all the kids as they're growing up. He's 6 years old. All right?
Yeah.
If you... handed him, now I don't know where he is in his learning to read capabilities, but if you handed him a college textbook right now and he couldn't read you the entire first chapter without making a mistake, you'd be able to step back and say to yourself, he's only six. He hasn't hit this level yet. But one day I'd like him to. So what are the things that I can be doing now that he's six to be able to start making his reading competency grow? I'm going to teach him what the letter sounds are. I'm going to teach him phonics. I'm going to give him practices of a couple of lines a day. We're going to read great things together. That would be your plan to create a literate, competent, extremely intelligent adult person. Well, we don't think we should do that when it comes to our kids, and especially with the oldest of several, because every mom goes through this, right? When we have this two-year-old, he's our baby, he's wonderful, he's adorable, we just gave birth to another one. Suddenly, that two-year-old should be all grown up and know everything because I've got so much to do with the new one. Well, you're about to do this for the fourth time, and so you really think he should be the competent young man coming alongside of you, helping with his siblings and not giving you a hard time.
But the funny thing is,
he doesn't have the skills.
Well, but the funny thing is, the church doesn't even consider, you know, him capable of sin until age seven, right? Because he's still struggling to be at the age of reason where he can connect consistently actions and consequences.
And I will tell you one thing, as they age from six to seven, they test every parent. You're thinking, really? The church doesn't think they're capable of sin yet? Because he's sure acting like he is.
Yeah, so,
but he's not, because he's not really able to think as clearly as you think he can. Right,
so it's
now
stressful. It absolutely is, and it is frustrating. It absolutely is, but you know, you haven't failed as a mom. You're really just starting here. Now, the one thing that I would suggest, in addition to watching that self-talk, and this is really a key here, is do less for the kids and more with the kids. Now, what I mean by that, we have a tendency to feel like, oh, I can't do the laundry or cook the meal or
dust the
house,
living room or whatever it is,
unless I send the kids away. that
just give me 15 minutes, guys. That's all I need. Just go watch your video. Just leave me alone so I can get this done. Because we've always done that as adults, right? We just get the job done. But it really works to our detriment when we're doing this
with
small children.
Because when you have, you know, the 6 and the 4 and the 2-year-old in a room that's separate from you while you're trying to get something done, they don't have the self-control that's necessary to not antagonize each other. So then I'm trying to, you know, dust something or fold laundry or whatever, and I hear the screaming from the other room. And immediately what goes on in my head is that 6-year-old should know better. They should be the
you
one
should
who...
should be watching them.
And I go in there, you know, loaded for bear, all upset and ready to go. My suggestion to you would be to bring the kids along with you as you go through the day. Okay, guys, we need to take some time to kind of fold the laundry. You put on some pleasant music. You don't make it about folding the laundry. You make it about connecting. The laundry is an excuse to be in the same room together, relating to each other and connecting to each other. You ask the 4-year-old, can you find all the, you know, a blue socks? Can you find, you know, you're working on colors with him while, you know, you're doing that. The 6-year-old is, you know, kind of helping right beside you with that. The 2-year-old, you know, they're...
The 2-year-old can even, you can show them how to fold, like, your dust cloths into fours, and it won't be perfect, but it'll be something that they can actively participate in and feel competent
about.
But
the point isn't getting the job done. The point is just getting the time together around the job. And then, you know,
the job will get done bit by bit.
You know, then you move on. If you're cooking dinner, you know, you set the 2-year-old up in the high chair and you give him some play food to work with, and maybe the 4-year-old as well. You let the 6-year-old start helping you put some things together. But you're doing less for the kids and more with the kids. And the good thing about that is you're teaching them how to be responsible, and they're really enjoying it at these ages because they get to spend time with you.
Yeah, that's all they really, really want, is the time engaged with you. And believe it or not, you'll be a lot less tired as a pregnant mom doing it this way, because you'll see more smiles, you'll get more hugs and kisses, you'll get the chance to, and I want to circle back right now to the biggest thing that you were talking about with the 6-year-old, you'll get time to teach along the way. So if they're in another room, or you're really, you know, disengaged for whatever reason for a while, and they've already escalated, and you're going in and saying, all right, what happened to the 4-year-old and the 6-year-old, and they're crying and they're screaming, of course you're going to be on high alert. But if they're moving along with you throughout the day, they all have their little Swiffer dusters, or they're all doing whatever, and they're just coming along with you, and you're engaged, and making it about being engaged with them instead of, you know, trying to get something done while they occupy themselves. Suddenly, if the 6-year-old says something rude, well, then we go back to that teaching him how to read so he can do the college textbook analogy that I gave you. So you're stopping and you're saying, sweetheart, that was a very rude way to try to get what you needed. Now tell mommy what it is that you need right now. And you can kind of help him through it. You can ask, you know, one or two questions if he's just unable to give you an answer. And then you say, well, we'll talk about getting that need met in a minute, but let me tell you how you ask for that. And then you give him the words. Mommy, can I please fill in the blank? You let him practice that. If he does it with, you know, a nasty attitude, you say, well, thank you for getting the words right, but let's get the tone of voice right. And you practice that with him till you hear the tone of voice that you want. And then you're able to say, now that's how to ask for something respectfully. Now let's talk about how we can make that happen, or why we can't, or when we can, with a qualified yes. No, you can't have the cookie right now, but you can have one after dinner once you've eaten your whole dinner. It's a constant state of, I can teach him how to become that respectful, helpful young man, that kind person that my goal is for him to become. But you're teaching it step by step, just as you would teach him his letter sounds, putting words together, reading a sentence that will eventually build up to somebody who's completely literate. So take that little steps every day, keeping the kids alongside of you and making connection your priority as you teach those skills along the way.
So I'd like to leave you with two resources, because Stephanie, I think this will get you pretty far, but I think that to give you a little bit more support, there are two things I want you to do. First of all, If you like the suggestions we're making, we have tons more of them that we share every day on our Facebook discussion group called Catholic Home. That's spelled H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. Catholic H-O-M, where we talk about living what we call the liturgy of domestic church life, which is just all about how to experience Christ's love in our homes, how to have a more peaceful, loving, joyful, grace-filled home. And if you, it's just a discussion group. We've got about 3,000 families on there that are talking about how to do this every day, sharing their experience.
Completely free. We're not selling you anything.
So check that out on Facebook at Catholic H-O-M Family Discipleship. The other thing I'm going to suggest to you is picking up a copy of our parenting book, the new edition of Parenting with Grace. It's Parenting Your Kids with Grace, Birth to 10. And we talk about the kind of discipline that we've described here. We talk about how to bring your kids along with you, that, like we were describing throughout the day, in a way that doesn't drive you crazy. I think it'll be a tremendous help for you. It's Parenting Your Kids with Grace. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold.
There's also one more resource for you. It's very small and very easy to read. I wrote it so that it would be. It's called The Corporal Works of Mommy, because we need to connect with our spirituality. But it's so tiny, you can fit it in your purse and just read it when the baby falls asleep or while you're nursing or when you have 2 seconds, and it will give you sort of that, okay, I'm reorienting myself to this. This is why I'm doing all of this. Please, Stephanie, know we will be praying for you, the children, and the new baby, that everything goes beautifully for you, for your whole family.
And we're here for you. If you need to follow up, don't hesitate to call us here on the program or reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. And that's all the time we've got for today's program. If you would like to check out the resources we mentioned on the show, visit CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our books and about the telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. And in the meantime, don't forget that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life that He has for you. Have a blessed day, folks.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.